A few weeks ago, I was watching some of the hurricane coverage on television. Which hurricane, you say? I don't think I absolutely remember. We watched so many things happen over a period of a short amount of time. But what I do remember is I was watching this coverage on television, and a news reporter from out in the field in the middle of one of these hurricanes was giving a report to the folks back home. And he was talking about how everything was coming in, the wind was picking up, debris was beginning to fly. And after he'd given his report, the anchor said to him, "You make sure that you and your crew stay safe out there." And he said, "Oh, we don't have anything to worry about. We're staying in a hotel that is absolutely hurricane-proof. We are on the fifth floor of a hotel that has been rated to withstand 150-mile-an-hour winds. We will be perfectly fine." About 30 minutes later, he came back on to make another report from the shelter that he and his crew had been evacuated to. Because they had sat in their hotel room and they began to realize windows are breaking, pieces are falling off of this hotel. It is not safe to be here anymore. We better find somewhere secure. And I watched that and I thought, well, that sounds like life, doesn't it? We have those times when we think everything is safe, everything is stable, everything is okay. There are those times in our lives when we tell ourselves that one thing we should never say to ourselves. It looks like everything is going my way. Because what happens next? Something begins to fall apart. You begin to get bad news. It comes from nowhere. Unexpected events shake your world. Things you thought you could depend upon begin to collapse around you, and you realize, I thought I had a strong foundation, but I need something a lot stronger than myself. You need a foundation you can depend upon for your life. No wonder Ephesians says you are to be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, in the one unchanging reality in an ever-changing world, Jesus Christ. His word stands forever. His truth endures for all generations. Everything else people build their lives upon will shift and change with time. Everything you think is absolutely dependable will be gone in just a little while, except for Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. You were rooted and grounded in your personal relationship with Jesus. In fact, believers who stumble are often those whose faith is built on facts alone, and not on their relationship with Christ. You know, I believe the right things, I know the right things, I've read the right things, I've heard the right things, but I've never actually made that step where, the way I describe it is, where the truth becomes my truth. Where all of a sudden, all of those things I've always believed become very personal because I have had a personal encounter with a living Jesus who wants to live in my heart and have a forever relationship with me. At the end of Ephesians 3, as we are working through this book together, Paul prays a prayer for the Ephesian believers. This prayer comes at a very special time in Ephesians, as you'll be discovering as you walk through this in Sunday school and as we preach through this together and as we discuss this together on Wednesdays in the next few weeks. The first three chapters of Ephesians are very different from the second three. The first three are, these are the things we believe. And then the second three chapters are, and this is what you do about it. This is how it applies to your life. And in that period in between, Paul stops and he prays a prayer for the Ephesians. It's the prayer, the scripture that we read together just this morning. And in that prayer, he prays three very specific things for the disciples in Ephesus. And every one of them has to do with how to live a rooted, grounded faith. It was true for them so long ago. It is absolutely true in your life today. This is how you can have a faith that is rooted and grounded. So let's look together at what the Bible has to say for a few moments this morning. And the first thing we discover is this: a strong faith emerges from a dynamic dependence upon a loving Savior. Paul prayed that the Ephesians would be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened through his Spirit in the inner man. One thing is always true about a thriving relationship with the Lord, and it is simply this: it always begins with Him. It always begins with Him reaching out to you, with Him strengthening you in the inner man, with Him reaching out to you in the midst of your heart. Nobody ever went looking for God until God came looking for them. Now, the great news is God comes looking for everybody. Just last week, we talked about that father in the parable of the prodigal son. Oh, that was Wednesday night, wasn't it? The parable of the prodigal son. And how is this God who is constantly reaching and aching and looking and searching for his lost children? And there's never a time when he's not still looking. As long as somebody's not home, he's still looking. But it always, always begins with Him. It is about Jesus reaching out to you. One of the things we need to remember from Ephesians is this: it is absolutely futile to think I can handle life on my own. I don't need the Lord at all. I can take the Lord just on the edges of my life. I can depend upon the Lord when I want to, but when I don't need Him, I can go my own way and everything will work out fine for me. That's just not going to work. It's never worked for anybody, and it won't work for you. Everything that matters comes from a living relationship with a loving Savior. No believer is more frustrated than someone who is trying to live for the Lord. Here's what the Bible tells us, and it is really important. We don't live for the Lord, we live through the Lord. That's what the Bible says. That's what our passage says. Strengthened with might in the inner man. Through the Lord. I don't live for the Lord. I can make the decision. I'm going to live for the Lord. And it might work today and it might work tomorrow. But before very long, it's not going to work because I'm trying to do it. I'm trying to live for the Lord. I'm trying to do all the right Christian things. It's not about living for the Lord. It is about living through the Lord. About depending upon Him to do in me what I cannot do for myself. God's great news is He wants to give you the strength you need. Whatever may be going on around you, when everything is going fine, when the whole world is falling apart, when you understand everything that's going on, when you don't understand anything that's taking place, God wants to give you the strength that you need. And the Bible says it is yours through the Holy Spirit, that He has the strength you need. One of the things that you need to understand as you live out your Christian life is this: He is always there providing the strength, sometimes when you think it's coming from yourself. It's always about His strength flowing through you. One of my favorite movies, a movie that was made, it's probably been 20, 25 years ago. Maybe you saw it. It's a movie called The Bear. Does anybody remember The Bear? Nothing to do with football. Has to do with a bear, believe it or not. It's a story about a little bear cub who's learning how to come of age in the midst of the deep woods. And all through this movie, the little bear is going through all sorts of adventures and learning all kinds of things as his mother teaches him how to cope and how to thrive in a wild world. And one of the things she teaches him is this: there'll come a time in your life when your back is up against the wall. There'll come a time in your life when everything seems to be falling apart. There'll come a time in your life when everything you're facing seems so much bigger than you are. And when that time comes, you face your problem, you confront your enemy, you take your stand, and you roar just as loud as you can. And that will save you from the adversary. Well, in the midst of this movie, there comes this point where this little bear discovers that he's being stalked by a mountain lion. and he feels like he's all by himself, and he sees that thing, and it jumps from a rock and down to the ground, and he's running from it as fast as he can, and he falls in the river, but it won't give up, and it crawls out on the bank, and finally he comes to that point where there's nowhere to turn, there's nowhere to go. This mountain lion, who is five times his size, is right in front of him, and if something doesn't happen, he's going to lose his life. And that little bear remembers, and he looks that mountain lion right in the eyes, and he goes, "Rawr, rawr, rawr." And the mountain lion turns and runs away. You can see that little bear. Now, he's got paws and not hands, but what he's basically doing is this. Took care of that. What he doesn't know is the whole time he's going, "Row," his mother is standing right behind him, and she is just like this. And that's the strength of the Holy Spirit, who stands behind you and protects you and enables you and empowers you so that his strength is what matters and not your own. He has the strength to carry you through. When you are rooted and grounded, it is because you are depending upon the strength that only Christ can provide. In fact, I really believe this, and the Lord allows you to go through seasons of real challenge and real struggle and real hopelessness and helplessness, because that's how he teaches you to depend upon him and nothing else but him. Second thing that Paul says is this. He says, a growing Christian life is based on faith in the personal presence of the indwelling Christ. Ephesians continues, it says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The Lord doesn't just give you the strength you need. The Bible says he gives you himself. Paul was praying that each of these Ephesians would have a growing personal relationship with a saving Lord. The kind of relationship that comes from his presence being constantly inside of you. In fact, that's one of the things that separates Christian faith from worldly religions. Most religions will tell you what to do. Most of them will tell you how to be moral people. Most of them will tell you how to be good citizens. They'll tell you how to act. They'll tell you how to worship. They'll tell you how to serve. They'll tell you how to fear. They'll tell you how to satisfy. They'll tell you how to be blessed by their God. But their God remains way out there. Only Christ invites you to know him. Not know about him. Know him as a personal Savior. As followers of Jesus, you're invited to have a deep personal relationship with the Lord himself. You're invited to know him in the very depths of who you are. You know, over the years, I've had my share of doubts and spiritual challenges. There have been those times when I've confronted things I didn't understand. There have been times when I have struggled with who I was in Christ. There have been times when I've dealt with my own spiritual issues. And it's okay for me to say that, because you know what? So have you. So have you. There have been times in your own life as a believer when there have been times when you've asked questions, when you've wondered why, when things have taken place that you just could not explain, and times when maybe you even went through seasons of doubt. If you've not gone through struggles in your life, you got one now. You're a liar. And that's struggle enough. It's happened to all of us. I've counseled to so many people who have struggled with issues of their own faith. But this is what I have found out in my life and in the life of other people that is almost always true. When we struggle, the root cause is usually not really doubt or confusion. The root cause is almost always that the depth of our personal relationship with Christ has become superficial. What has happened is not, I have encountered something and it is overwhelming. I have discovered a question that I'm really struggling with. I'm not sure where to turn and I don't know what to do. Usually what has happened is I have neglected my relationship with Christ. I have allowed my walk with Jesus to become very shallow, and because of that, I find myself very vulnerable when spiritual challenges come. I find that my ability to stand and be strong truly has to do with how close to the Lord am I. And when those times come and when those challenges confront me, they drive me back to getting to where I need to be with Christ. It's a sign I have drifted from Him. You see, the truth is we're not called to be believers in Christ. We're called to be followers of Christ. We are to walk with Him. We're believers in the sense that we believe everything God tells us in His Word is true. We are believers in the fact that we believe you can build a life upon the principles and the truths that God gives us in His Word. We are believers in the fact that we believe everything the Bible has to say about how God has interacted with man is true. We are believers in the fact that we know that the story the Bible tells about the coming, the life, the teachings, the miracles, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. It's true. We are believers in the fact that we believe the time is coming when the risen Christ will return to claim His own and we will forever be with the Lord. But we also believe that all of that truth has a single purpose: to open the door to a growing personal relationship with Christ. All of those things that I believe, the reason I believe them is because they draw me closer to Jesus. And that's where I'm supposed to be. And so are you. Do you want to be rooted and grounded in your faith? Do you want to be able to stand with confidence no matter what storm may come? Then cultivate your relationship with Jesus. If there's one prayer you need to pray this morning as a Christian, it is simply this: Jesus, keep it personal. Keep it personal. Let me walk with you. And then Paul tells us this. He says, a faith for a lifetime is planted deep in the love of Christ. Ephesians 3:18-19, an incredible statement of the confidence we have in Jesus when it says that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of Christ, that you may know how wide God's love is and how deep God's love is and how high God's love is, that you may know wherever you turn, whatever you do, wherever you look, there it is. It's His love. And it's for you. It's for you. You can never begin to completely comprehend the extent of His love. And the more you're overwhelmed by His love, the more your life is transformed. The most amazing thing in the world to me is that God could love me. That Jesus would die for me. Why somebody like me? You know, I've said for a lot of years, I believe the reason the Lord called me into ministry is to prove He can use anybody. And I think that's true. How do we begin to comprehend how much God loves us? Deeply, passionately, personally. Not because He doesn't know all about us. He doesn't know those things we try to hide. But because He does know those things. And He loves you anyway. Unbelievable. Nobody else has ever loved me that way. And nobody else has loved you like that either. When you know through personal experience the depth of God's love and grace for you, it changes your life forever. I love a story that was told about a bishop in Korea who faced a dilemma. They came to him and they said, "We have a problem. It's with a woman in our village. She claims that Jesus appears to her and tells her things. And we don't know whether to believe her or not. We need you to talk to this woman and let us know whether we should take her seriously or not." And they brought her in, and this bishop sat down and he thought, how in the world do you talk to someone who claims that they have a face-to-face conversation with Jesus? And so he asked her, he said, "So how long has this happened?" "This has been going on for several years. There are times when Jesus simply appears in my house and he talks to me and he tells me things that people need to know, and I share it with them." And he thought about this a minute and he said, "This is what I want you to do. This is how I will know whether what you're telling me is true. Many years ago, when I was a young priest," he said, "there was a time when I committed a very serious sin. It is a sin that has haunted me throughout the years of my ministry. And nobody ever knew what I'd done. Only myself and God. The next time that Jesus comes to you, you ask him, what was that sin? And if you can tell me, then I'll believe you." She went back home to her village, and several months went by. And then one day she showed up at the door of his home and she said, "He's come again." And he said, "So you talked to him?" And she said, "Yes." And he said, "You remember the question I told you to ask?" And she says, "I do." And he said, "Did you ask it?" And she said, "I did." And she said, and he said, "So what did he tell you?" And she said, "Jesus said, tell you, he loves you. And he has forgiven you. And he doesn't remember." That is the love of God that washes us clean as snow and separates our sins from us as far as the east is from the west and takes them and casts them into the depths of the sea, because he doesn't see the sin. He sees the soul, and he loves that person with all of his heart. It's the power of the love of Christ. You can't understand it. You can't explain it. All you can do is receive it. There is no more powerful statement of God's love than Romans 5:8, where the Bible says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You can't earn that kind of love. All you can do is receive it. And the only way you can receive it is by faith in the one who loved you and gave himself for you. So let me ask you a question this morning. Are you rooted and grounded in the love of Christ? Do you understand how much he cares for you? Do you recognize what it means to be touched by his grace, to be empowered by his Spirit? Have you been changed by the presence of Jesus Christ? If not, then today may be the day when that needs to happen. Today may be the day when you need to get saved. You need to invite Christ into your heart, ask him to wash you clean, to come and live in you so that you can live for him throughout this life and then into eternity because you've been saved. If you need Christ today, I encourage you, in a minute we're going to sing an invitation hymn. It's your time to come. I will be here at the front. Rich will be here at the front. Both of us would love to talk to you about how you can come to know Jesus as personal Savior. Maybe you're here today And you just need a church family where you can experience all of this love and grace that God gives. You need a place where people are going to love you and accept you, and where you can grow spiritually, and where you can serve God. And there's no better place than First Baptist. And God is telling you, I want you to put your life right here, not just to worship, but to serve and to follow Jesus. And maybe today you need to come and make that decision. Or maybe you're here as a believer and you're one of those who, as I was talking a while ago about, you've just allowed it all to become a little too superficial. And it's just time to say, today, beginning today, I want to recommit myself to a deep personal walk with Jesus. Is there a decision you need to make? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart? Do you need to come forward? If you do, in just a minute, as we stand and sing, you come. We'll be waiting for you. Let's stand together. Let's sing.